So we'll start as we always do. If you would introduce yourself and tell us what you cover.
I am Ted Mann. I'm a reporter in the Washington Bureau, and I cover business and influence.
And what is the name of the company that this episode is about?
This episode is about The Boring Company.
Are you drawn to boring topics?
That's in the eye of the beholder.
One thing about The Boring Company that's not boring is its founder, Elon Musk. But the reason Musk started the company actually was boring. Traffic.
Traffic is soul-destroying. It's like acid on the soul. It's horrible. We must go away.
Musk's solution to traffic was to build a network of tunnels under cities to alleviate clogged roads. And in some cases, using self-driving electric vehicles made by his other company, Tesla.
So this is, I think, finally, there's something that I think could solve the goddamn traffic problem.
And boring was making headlines with plans to make tunnels in major cities around the country, like L.A., New York, Chicago, Las Vegas. But after 6 years, only one of those projects has happened. And Ted dug in to try to find out why. Okay, and will this episode be boring?
Absolutely not.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Thursday, December 8th. Coming up on the show, what The Boring Company says about Elon Musk.
It can be hard to see the challenges the people we work with are facing. Addressing these invisible struggles can make us and our companies healthier. Join Holly Robinson-Pete on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare.
How much of the interest in The Boring Company comes from the fact that it's part of Elon Musk's empire?
Can I answer that question with a question?
Please.
Can you name another tunneling company?
How did this tunneling venture start?
Well, it started with a tweet. What doesn't, I guess? It started almost seemingly as a joke. Musk tweeted that he was stuck in traffic and it was annoying him so much and he was just going to get a tunnel boring machine and start digging. People probably just thought he was playing around.
But he wasn't playing around. At a TED Talk back in 2017, Musk shared his vision.
There's no real limit to how many levels of tunnel you can have. You can go much further deep than you can go up.
And how did The Boring Company go from just a pet project to something more serious?
The short answer is they started to raise real money. They started to hire a lot of people. They started pitching in cities big and small that the notion that they could solve traffic problems or eliminate congestion or, you know, replace transit projects that those cities were considering with instead this fairly unconventional notion of tunnels with electric vehicles moving back and forth inside them. The pitch was that they could make such an improvement on the tunnel boring machine as it currently exists that they would build tunnels much faster, much cheaper.
Quickly, there were talks of projects starting in major cities.
The first two projects that they started to talk about publicly were this proposal to build a high-speed New York to Washington connection. A similar thing was happening in Chicago, where Rahm Emanuel, who was then the mayor, wanted to build a high-speed connection between O'Hare International Airport and the downtown loop in Chicago. And Emanuel went so far as to award an agreement to Musk and The Boring Company to build that system.
And they had a big press conference. Emanuel presented Musk with a flag of the city.
We think we're going to really be very good at boring. and the ride is going to be very exciting.
You know, Boring wasn't just working with major cities. It was also prospecting around smaller places as well, like San Bernardino County in California, home to the city of Ontario.
Ontario is about 45 miles east of Los Angeles. It used to be a farming and dairy community, but it is now a large part of the Inland Empire with all sorts of businesses, industry, and an airport, Ontario Airport.
That's Janice Rutherford. She's on the board of the county's transportation authority. And she says the county wanted to build a light rail connecting the airport to a commuter train station, but the plan was pretty expensive.
The potential price tag on the light rail system was going to be about $1 billion. And that was the starting number. Costs always go up from there. So it was a huge, huge amount. So we were exploring those ideas and figuring out what we could do when our chairman was approached by the Boring Company with this idea of, hey, let's put it all underground.
The Boring Company had come in with an unsolicited proposal for tunnels in which travelers could zip the 4 miles from the airport to the commuter rail station in autonomous electric vehicles.
When they brought us the idea for the tunnel, it was initially their estimate was under $50 million.
Wow. So what was your reaction to that?
It was exactly wow, right? Even if $50 million doubles, it's still a lot less than $1 billion.
And when you got this, the price was compelling, the idea was compelling. Did you have any reservations?
Well, your reservation is this is brand new. How comfortable are people in Southern California, earthquake country, going to be getting in a tunnel? And can it really be delivered for $50 million?
While there were concerns, the price tag was appealing. And so was the idea of Musk.
You put Elon Musk's name with something, there's a certain sexiness to it that makes people think, oh, he can get things done. So even though it seems like a fantastical idea to us, if Elon says it, he's going to find a way to make it happen.
One place where Musk found a way to make his ideas happen is Las Vegas. The Boring Company built tunnels under the Las Vegas Convention Center. Here's Ted again.
If you go to the convention center in Las Vegas and the convention center is hosting something big enough that they have it operating, you can get into a Boring Company tunnel and you can ride in a Tesla underground. It was an entertaining thing for the people who wanted a novelty ride.
People have gushed about it on social media.
Man, look at that. This is cool.
Oh, this is like futuristic AF. Dig this.
It kind of looks like a Disney ride. It's got this soothing music playing. It's got these, even the lighting they picked is like really nice lighting.
You know, I've seen the videos, but actually doing it myself like this, it's incredible. It's very,
It's different, right?
It's very different. It's very surreal.
So was it just a novelty ride, or did it also serve a real transportation purpose?
Well, the people who run the convention center say it's very useful. They spent $50 million on it, and they say they like it and that it really helps. It is a giant convention center, and so that is a good way to get from one end of it to another. They're planning to connect more of the casinos that are right on the strip to the convention center. They see this as a major attraction. And so they can say to people who want to come have a convention in Las Vegas, there's this famous system, you know, advertised by a famous guy that we have here.
The Boring Company was up and running in Las Vegas. But elsewhere, in LA, New York, and Chicago, it was a different story. That's coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems,
But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The Boring Company had drawn a lot of attention in major cities for its tunneling proposals. But when it came to breaking ground, there was little to show. Do any of these projects get going?
No. The short answer is no. There was a lot of talk about these projects. There was a lot of ink spilled about how they might happen. But the company walked away from them pretty quickly. In Chicago, there was opposition from other elected officials who didn't agree with the mayor on this. But in other cases, Boring just walked away.
So it's a collision of kind of theory with reality.
It's a collision of marketing with reality.
What has Boring said about why they pulled out?
The Boring Company never responded to any attempts to discuss any of this.
According to former executives and public officials Ted spoke with, Boring pulled out of the projects when confronted with the realities of building public infrastructure, like securing permits and conducting environmental reviews. Were you aware that some of Boring's proposals in other cities had not come to fruition?
I had not been aware of those.
Janice Rutherford and her team were pushing ahead with negotiations with the Boring Company. But things started to get complicated.
You know, this is California. We have a lot of very detailed, complex environmental hurdles that have to be cleared. Our typical contract for a design build with a company is about 1,500 pages. A lot of lawyers involved. And the Boring team was not interested in a 1,500-page contract. And as our staff started to work with them on those sort of details, they weren't willing to put a lot of meat on the bone. They wanted something a lot less detailed and a lot simpler.
And did the price tag stay the same through this process?
No, they were increasing substantially, and the price grows considerably once you realize what it takes to clear environmental standards in California.
By late last year, the project's estimated costs ballooned to almost $500 million. The deadline to submit final proposals came and went, and the county did not hear from the Boring Company.
Ultimately, Boring did not submit a proposal by the date that we had requested it.
How did you feel when the Boring Company didn't submit a proposal?
Well, it was disappointing. Disappointing to basically be ghosted, but the Boring Company acted as a disruptor in this industry, and we now had other companies that do this same work that were interested and intrigued and willing to work creatively with us, and their prices, as we've been talking to them, have come down a bit from where they would have been if this had been their idea and initial proposal. So even though Boring ghosted us, there has been a value to their wild and crazy idea.
This idea that you kind of hitch your ride to Elon Musk and magic can happen did not pan out.
No, it didn't pan out at all. What the Boring Company promised in dropping Elon's name, there was no substance to it. It was all a fantasy.
Despite the fact that these projects didn't pan out, Boring is still operating and even raising money from investors.
They've had a very successful fundraising round in the spring. They raised $675 million. The valuation was around $5.7 billion. The money came, in some cases, from big-name investors like Sequoia Capital and a number of large real estate firms. So they have a lot of money. And a lot of people are betting that what Musk and what the company are saying they can do, they might be able to do.
Why do investors continue to invest? What is it that they see?
The short answer is we don't know exactly what the investors see in it because they won't talk about it. Sequoia declined to comment. Some of the real estate companies declined to comment. Others just wouldn't talk about it at all.
What does this story tell us about Musk and his ability to translate his visions into reality and into viable businesses?
I think the story of the Boring Company tells us to approach some of the claims that Musk and others in Silicon Valley are making with skepticism, in particular where the claims are that they alone can completely revolutionize a niche or an industry that has its own experts and its own big players in it, and that they have some sort of secret ability. It just doesn't necessarily translate to every other industry. So until they're unable to raise money, until the investors are demanding the same sort of proof that some people at the local level are, they're going to have a lot of capital, they're going to be able to go to a lot of places, and they're going to be able to offer to dig a lot of tunnels, which may or may not ever get built.
All right, Ted, here we are. We're at the end. And so what do you think? Was it boring?
I'm such a bad judge of this. no one's asleep, right?
That's all for today, Thursday, December 8th. Additional reporting in this episode by Julie Bykowitz. And we're excited to be dropping the first episode in a new series very soon. It's called Uncontrolled Substances. It's about a buzzy telehealth startup called Cerebral that set out to fix mental health care and how some former employees say its ambitions came at a heavy cost and interfered with patient care. Look out for it in your feed. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Ryan Knutson and me, Kate Linebaugh, with help this week from Eric Schwartzel. The show is produced by Melvis Acosta Crisostomo, Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Maria Byrne, Pia Godkari, Rachel Humphreys, Brendan Klinkenberg, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nasuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Aaron Randall, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Vladislav Sedik, Pierce Singhi, Jivika Verma, Lisa Wang, and Catherine Whalen, with help from Jonathan Sanders. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner, Nathan Singapak, and Peter Leonard. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Peter Leonard, Emma Munger, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka and Sky Patterson. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.